The Stone Cold Paradise podcast is a series of informal conversations with the classic rock band Stone Cold Paradise and their collaborators, covering over 50 years of rock and roll.
Do you have any donations that you're doing for the holiday season, Alistair?
That's your first question?
Right, well, I don't know. Now's the time to start filling out donation cards and sending gifts and things like that.
Donation cards? I've never sent a donation card at Christmas.
You don't, well, Hawk knows what I'm talking about. You have all kinds of charities. Don't you send out things for...
Oh, yeah, I do charities, so I don't have to donate.
Can't be how that works.
No, if you have charities and you're doing as many charities as I do, why would you donate?
No one gives...
You know, every charity I do has donations.
What? No one donates for...
I donate year round. I don't do it once a year.
Well, but still, like, you know, it is the season to give. I mean, I give all of my, you know, I give my maid and my gardener a check at the end of the year to say thank you and happy Christmas. And then also I donate to a charity or two.
How much do you give them?
Well, it's different depending on the service worker, but usually it's a couple of $100s. And
all right, I think you owe us all a couple of $100, mate.
You did.
Right, we do services for you too, right? We play in this band, right?
Right, and also you're paying them in American dollars. That's less than the pound. Right.
Yeah, I've never gotten a check from you for Christmas.
No, you're not getting it. Well, to answer your question, Alistair, I bought a bunch of American currency when it was low, and now I'm just trying to get rid of it. So I figure,
pay us in pounds then.
Right. No, I'm not going to pay you guys anything. You don't deserve anything.
We're in the band.
That's not very Christmas-like.
Right, but you get paid for being in the band. You don't get a bonus.
No, but we provide a service.
Yeah, we provide services.
Right? We do gardening with our fingers on our instruments, right?
Right.
That's not the same thing at all.
I'd venture to say that is the same thing.
Well, then maybe you should be giving me a check.
Well, you're the one with the checks.
Right. You're the one that does the donation.
You said
you're
trying to get rid of American cash. I mean, it sounds like you're looking for places to donate your money. So we're giving you three examples right here.
Yeah, but I'm not just giving it away for no reason. And you all have personal checks. Don't tell me that you don't have your own. First of all, just because I write the band's checks as its producer doesn't mean that I would write checks for the band to you because I'd be paying you out of your own money.
I don't understand.
I don't.
No.
So the band has its own S Corp, right?
Right.
That essentially functions as a carryall for all the money that we make on tours or album releases or, any kind of merchandise and branding. Any of that goes into a general fund for the band. So if I was to write you a check from that, it's already your money.
Right, but why not give us a donation for our services?
I don't understand, mate.
Because you get paid for the job that you do anyway, based on royalties.
Yeah, but we're not asking you to pay us for doing a job. We're asking for a donation.
But why would I donate to you?
For our services.
All right. You know what? Fine. We'll put out a tip jar, right? And you can just fill it up when we're playing a show.
I'm not going to tip any of you. That doesn't make any sense.
Next time the four of us have a show, we'll set out a tip jar and we'll put it right in front of your keyboards.
Then people are going to assume that they should give me a tip.
No, you need to tip us
Barney's tip jar on it so they'll know that it's your tip jar to tip us.
Right.
It's like a swear jar, but it'll be more like, oh, Hawk, that was a good note you sang there, right?
Oh, thank you, mate.
You put a pound in there.
I think you guys are fundamentally missing the idea of what a tip is for. When you tip someone at the end of the year, you're usually tipping someone that you have, a significant power dynamic over, someone who works for you, usually in a lower middle class bracket, of which none of you belong because you're all very wealthy. And it's kind of a way of saying, thank you, I have more and I can give a little to you. Second of all of you have more money than me because of some bad investments, honestly, that I made, including the American dollar. But so it wouldn't make sense for me to tip you.
I don't know, mate.
Here's
a tip, mate. I got a tip for you. Give us more pounds, mate.
Give us more pounds, Barney.
I mean, if you want a greater commission off the royalties, we can, you know, do contract negotiations for that.
Oh, we did it, mates. We did it. Right, we got the contract negotiations. It was so much easier than we thought.
That was great. Yeah, we were talking about
that. I should also point out that you don't negotiate with me. No. You negotiate with the record label.
I think we just solved our case.
Yeah, I think we did.
Barney, look around you, mate. There's a camera right over there, and there's a camera right over there, right? You, sir, are on contract renegotiations. That's right.
That's right.
We got you, mate.
Yeah, we got you. We got you.
That's our web TV show, right?
Yeah, we
started. And you just been busted.
There's not a TV show called Contract Renegotiate. Who would watch that? It's our show, right?
We've actually got 10
people. You have 10 people that watch your show?
10 people that showed interest. I might check that out. I might. Yeah. Got to start somewhere, mate.
Gentlemen, so what? You have me on camera saying we can do a contract renegotiation. I would have willingly offered that up anyway. It's not something that I am in charge of.
All right, we got them. We got them. We got them in the bag. We've got it.
Are you telling me that none of you tip people that work for you?
No, of course we do, mate. We're not assholes.
Yeah, right.
So who do you tip, Hawk?
Everyone.
What? No.
Tip and the chef.
No, not sexual. Like, for instance, you have someone that cooks meals for you, right?
No, because I get HelloFresh. So are you asking if I tip HelloFresh?
No.
To come and send me boxes and then I cook my own meals.
Do you do your own gardening?
I don't have a garden.
Do you clean your own flat?
Yes.
Do you drive yourself everywhere in London?
Absolutely.
Do you have a doorman to your building?
No.
Watch out, mate. You're almost to 21 questions. And you can't ask any more.
Okay. Have you ever had someone come to service your HVAC?
What?
Your heating and air conditioning system.
No, I do that myself, mate. I use YouTube.
Nice.
Okay. Plumbing. Have you ever had a plumber come?
I know. I don't break toilets. No.
That's not true. I know that's not true.
Oh, not my own.
Oh, all right, Alistair.
Right.
You have your own garden in your flat, right?
That's right.
Right. So certainly someone delivers feed to you, right?
No.
Right, well, we know you don't drive because you're not allowed to have a car anymore.
That's right.
How do you get around London?
I pick him up.
Hawk picks me up.
Okay. Well, and you don't have a doorman either?
No.
Right. Do you ever do a delivery service?
Sure.
Okay. What do you have delivered?
Well, no, I work for Grubhub.
What? God. Okay. Roger, do you... You seem generally infantile in a lot of ways. Do you,
what do you mean?
Well, like, do you have anyone that cooks for you or cleans for you or anything like that?
You called him infantile?
No, I would
have...
That was
so rude, mate.
Well, I mean, come on.
That was very rude.
Come on, I say it endearingly. I like... I don't love infants, but I like Roger.
Oh, thank you, mate. Look, mate, I'm sorry, but my lawyer has advised me not to answer any questions at this time.
What are you doing? What?
In case you are wondering, yes, Hawk is my lawyer.
Yes, I said don't answer any of his questions.
Wait, so Hawk is your legal advisor, so you don't have
right.
a None of you have anyone that does anything for you?
We do things for each other, mate. We have like a system where we're like a wolf pack and I drive him around. I'm his lawyer. Right. He does Grubhub, so he delivers my HelloFresh. Mm-hmm. We have a system worked out, the three of us. Yeah.
Well, now, I mean, honestly, I feel a bit posh here because, I mean, I have a cleaning service. I have someone who does my gardening. I have a doorman.
That's why you don't have as much money as us.
Yeah, that's why you spend it on all that
bad
bullshit.
Investments. I mean, we help each other out and you just... spend a lot of money on unnecessary things.
Well, right. I also always considered you more of a scary spice, mate.
No, it's not what I mean. Well, all right, I'll give you each $100.
All right.
I told you.
Yeah, you did.
In yen.
And welcome back to the podcast, Frosties. Today we have a very special guest with us, Mr. Anthony Testuccio.
It's pronounced Anthony Testuccio. You have been butchering my name. As long as I've known you, you've never said my name right. It's Anthony Testuccio. It's all hard T's. It's not that difficult.
But to be honest, this is not the worst he's mispronounced your name. He used to call you Anthony Testiculo.
And then one time he called him Anthony Tostitos.
That's true.
Don't even get me started. When Harry Potter came out, everyone was saying, like my name was like a magic spell. Testiculo!
To be fair, that's because I put that in the book, you know, because I wrote them.
Okay, well, tell me this then. What does the spell testiculo do? And how is it appropriate for any of the books?
It's a, instead of getting a penis exam, you just say testiculo and you're cured of testicular cancer. Yeah, it was one of the chapters that's in my unreleased book.
What's the title of the unreleased one?
Harry Potter and the Extra Shit.
That's what you called it.
Harry Potter and the Straining Stone.
Oh, God. Oh. Well, Anthony, wait, you said that's all hard T's in your name.
Testustio.
Right, wouldn't it be Anthony?
No, the last name. I'm not a fucking weirdo.
Okay, so...
Anthony Tatuzio. That would be fucking crazy. Now I know why I stopped collaborating with you all.
No.
And it was
well, considering
shame.
How long it's taken with us to get through the name process of this, it's not a big surprise that we didn't get all that much done other than the one album.
Anthony, what's your middle name, mate?
Marconi.
Like the almond?
Like the inventor of the radio.
Oh, okay.
And the great-great-grandson of the inventor of the radio. Did you not know that?
I didn't know that. No, I figured
that's why
that
I got into music.
Really?
Because of the invention of the radio from your great-great-grandfather?
Yeah.
That's how you got into music. Right. But specifically, now, here's the thing. You play a very interesting instrument. Some would say it might not even be an instrument. You play the silent harp. Is that correct?
Okay. You all know my history, but perhaps the listeners don't. So as you all know, I was a prodigy at a very young age on the harp.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I was the youngest person to ever be accepted into Juilliard on scholarship at the age of 9.
Oh my God.
Nine.
On the harp.
9 years old.
And as you all know, you listeners don't probably don't. I toured the world starting at the age of 14.
Mm-hmm.
Oslo... International Symphony Orchestra, the Amsterdam International Symphony Orchestra.
Turin?
Turin, of course.
International Symphonic.
The Jerusalem International Symphony Orchestra.
What exactly makes all of these...
Maputo in Mozambique International Symphony Orchestra. I played in an International Symphony Orchestra on every continent except Antarctica. Don't even get me started about how cold that place is. By the time I was 20, I played in an International Symphony Orchestra in every continent on this great blue marble.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I realized? After those 11 years of being the best harpist in the world, I didn't like the way the strings sounded. Don't get me wrong, I love the harp, but I don't like the harp strings. So I thought, how do I get to play a harp without strings? And one day, I took all the strings off my harp, and I started to play. And you know what? I loved the way it sounded.
Right.
Can you describe that sound a little bit for us, Anthony? For the listeners that may not be familiar with the sound of an unstringed harp.
It sounds like a harp without strings.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, and when that was described to us, I think you had previously actually worked for, and I'm sorry, Barney, Elton John.
Right.
lovely man.
Lovely, no, absolutely lovely. Shit. Well, asshole. Barney has a...
Lovely man. Great hair. Great body. Like a Ziploc bag full of Jell-O. Love his body.
That's what I was going to say. A Ziploc bag full of Jell-O is the classic saying in the music industry.
Barney looks like he's about to burst over here. You look like you're angry about this.
Well, it angers me that people find a Ziploc bag full of Jell-O so appealing. Fuck Elton John, I'm sorry.
I would, yeah.
No, that's not what I meant.
Yeah.
Every time I'm on a flight, Barney insists on not getting Jell-O. One time a stewardess brought him... Jell-O as the dessert because it just came with everyone's entree.
Right.
And he opened it.
But just so everyone knows, I fly on an airline that's owned by a hospital, which is why.
Oh, that's right. Blue Cross Airlines.
Yeah, Blue Cross
Airlines. Yeah, you opened the Jell-O, you put it in your mouth, and then you spewed it all over, and you started screaming, fuck Elton John and his right. Jell-O.
Well, it was.
Right. They downgraded me from first class to business for that stunt.
Better they didn't downgrade you to ICU.
So Elton was Elton was the one that found you and recommended you to us. And we didn't know exactly what we were getting. And this is, of course...
Right, because just a reminder that Elton just said a harp player.
That's right.
Yeah, it was Elton... quite a prank if you think about it.
Right.
However, you were immensely popular on our album and on the tour for the album, Superman on Ice.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I was the best harp player in the world for 11 years. What would make anyone think I wasn't the best silent harp player of all time at the time that I invented the silent harp?
It's true. I remember specifically there was one song everyone was totally enamored with the silent harp, and I believe it was Mary Jane's Puss.
Right.
Ah, yes. MJP. I still remember the solo I played in the bridge of that. Would you like me to play it for you now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
That would be lovely.
Your listeners would love it. Okay, count me off.
One, two, three.
Get at me now. You got it. Go, go, go. Hit it. And that's where the chorus came in.
Lovely.
Right. Thank you for doing the background vocals that you added as well.
Yeah. I didn't get credited for background vocals, but when I go on the silent harp, I can't help but shout out what needs to be shouted out.
You remind me of Thelonious Monk, who famously would hum while playing the piano, as many jazz musicians do.
Yeah, people hum. That's not crazy. Crazy would be like burying your mother in your attic. That would be crazy.
Is that something you did?
Yes. Mother stays with me forever.
How did you bury her up in an attic?
Well, first, you have to build a 6-foot deep casket, and you put it at the bottom and you fill it with dirt.
The casket was 6 foot deep.
Yeah, imagine a casket that goes up 6 feet high, and then you put your mother at the bottom and you fill it with dirt, and then you put it up in your attic.
Was there a reason, Anthony, that you did it this way rather than like the conventional means of either cremation or getting a plot somewhere?
Yes, Mother needs to be with me. Mother needs to be as close to me as possible.
You know, they have a thing. I did this for a girlfriend once. You can take the ashes of a loved one and put them into a brooch or a diamond or something, you know?
That sounds beautiful. What I did is I put my mother in a 6-foot deep casket in my attic. And then every meal I go up and I sniff her and I say, love you to death. And I go back down and I eat my meal. She smells worse every day. Until one day she stops smelling. That's the thing about corpses. At one point, they decompose so much, they don't stink anymore. Hello?
We're here, Anthony. We're just gobsmacked, I believe. Right. Just to circle back for a moment, because you're talking about how close you are with your mother.
No, it's actually pronounced Anthony.
Oh, it is.
Well, hold on,
man. I'm kidding. It's Anthony. Testustio.
I just want to circle back because you were talking about how you wanted to be close to your mother always. And I do remember that because you started playing at Juilliard and touring at such a young age that your mother was always with you. Even as an adult man, your mother was there. And can you talk a little bit about how she shepherded you into the musical world and what kind of support she was giving you as a player?
Of course. When I was 6 years old, that is the first memory I ever had. She slapped me across the face and she said, your great-great-grandfather invented the radio and I am never going to leave you and you are never going to leave me. And that was it. That kind of spelled out the rest of my life. Right after that, I saw a Disney short cartoon where they went up to heaven. There was, I think it was Donnie Duck and they went up to heaven and they were playing. No, it was the Jack and the Beanstalk one. And then the giant had this little harp, like hop playing.
Right.
Like little thing and say in the left front pocket, you'll find the key. And she was playing like a little harp on that that little short. And ever since that, I still remember the heat of my mom's palm on my face and her saying, I'll never leave you and you'll never leave me. And I saw a harp and I'm like, you know what? This might be the only way I could live any sort of life where, you know, I have any sort of gratification. And I just went down it.
Right. So, and her palm was on your face to hold you against the television or?
No, to slap me across the
face. Oh.
Right. Okay.
She showed love in a different kind of way. The way she showed love was to put the palm of her hand as sharp and fast against my face as she could.
Wow.
You know, I don't think that's love, mate.
It's a different kind of love.
Well, I mean.
Oh, well, all right. I mean, don't mean to be digging right into that territory too much, but
I've been on Pornhub.com. It's considered a kind of love.
Well, and I mean, for those that haven't seen a picture of you before, just so the listeners understand that Anthony's jaw is actually swept to one side just a little bit from consistently being slapped from, I guess, One Direction. Is that right, Anthony?
Yes.
The band One Direction. Or your mother.
I heard that the boys from that band, actually, One Direction, that's where they got the name for their band as well. Their mothers would slap them in the face as well. And then they called themselves One Direction.
I guess it just goes to show that you really need a mother's firm, violent support at a young age to be successful in music.
I mean, I sure had that, you know, in a different way.
Yes.
Oh, did I need to see an example?
Yes.
Oh, well, she was very stern. She'd say, "Go do it. Go ahead and do it, Alistair."
Right.
And she had a thick accent. I know, I mean, super thick. So you couldn't understand her, really. Actually, why don't I talk like her and you see what you pick out?
Okay.
I'll try and see if I can understand anything.
Alistair, I can't even understand the piano. You can't do it for a time, right? And you're like, I get to go, sorry, your foot is a pig in a dirt.
I got
well,
that.
Yeah,
right. Alistair, I'm pregnant on the piano and you got to go outside and get that pig out of the sty.
That's correct.
Wow.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. My mother had a very distinct accent as well.
Really?
Yeah.
What was it like?
Okay. Let me do an impression of, let me see. You piece of shit. Your great, great grandfather invented the radio. And if you're not a successful musician, I'm going to slap you harder than I already do. Cha, cha, cha.
Wow.
I think I got that one. I think
it was. Yeah, no, I got that one.
It's like a Norman Bates transformation that you just did.
Yeah.
People say I sound a lot like my mother.
Right.
Which is why my impression is so good, I think.
Did you throw out your mother's clothes?
No. Why would I do that? I buried her with them. I put all her clothes in the casket.
All right.
Well, everything she owns is in the casket?
No, just the clothes.
Oh,
I took all the money out of everything I could find.
So if we were to look at, and I don't mean to be rude here, but if we were to look inside the casket, we'd see like jackets with clearly the pockets have been
outfolded. If you dug her up, all the pockets are inside out. But the day she died, I did two things. One, I took all the money out of everything she ever owned. And two, I cut all the strings off of my harp.
That was a connected event.
All right. I found the connective tissue.
Why did I
know
that?
Well, you hadn't mentioned before that the day that you decided to play the unstringed harp was the day that your mother had died.
Coincidence, I think.
Feels very therapeutic.
I don't see anything that connects them.
Well, there's a string that connects the fact that you don't want strings on your harp the day your mother died.
No, the only person that ever showed me love or ever showed me hate didn't exist on the world anymore, and then I decided to take apart the only thing I was ever good at and reinvent it somehow. How was that related?
Right, Anthony, I feel like if you heard yourself...
It's pronounced Anthony.
Terribly sorry.
You say words weird.
You know, Anthony, I don't know. Did you ever feel like you needed closure with your mother? Because I got into doing medium stuff not that long ago. You know, for one of my charities, I was doing mediums for mammoths and we're talking to their dead relatives. And
Which is all of them, since there are no living mammoths.
Wait, really quick. You mediums for mammoths, as in you have mediums contact extinct mammoths.
No, I would do it. I would contact them and I'd connect them to each other. It was quite fun,
actually. Who did you connect?
Just to make sure. So you went to the London Museum of Natural History, stood next to a stuffed dead mammoth.
That's where I came up with the idea, mate. I was there and I was like, I wonder if he had any unfinished business or anyone he wanted to speak to. So I got into mediumship. I went to...
Mediumship. Keep going.
Yeah, I went to mediumship.
Are you sure that's a P and not a T on the end of it?
Yeah. Mediumship. I went to Long Island for a while and I studied with that woman who has that television show. And then I went back.
It's pronounced Strong Island.
And then I went to all the natural history museums that had the mammoths and I started connecting them. So I could probably connect you to your mother if you wanted to have a conversation with her, mate.
Half of me thinks that the most closing that I should get with my mother is when I nail the casket shut in the attic. And part of me never wants to hear her voice again. But you know what? Let's give her a ringy ding.
All right, mate.
Oh, we're going to do it now.
You can do this right now.
We'll do it right now, yeah.
Oh, can you not?
Right. This is good podcast material.
So I just need everyone to sort to hum a little bit.
I'm
getting something. I'm getting something from her. Okay.
Hum a dum dum.
Anthony, what the fuck are you doing?
Ma! Ma, I'm trying to play the sound harp.
Anthony, I've been up there listening to you playing a harp with no strings. What the fuck?
It sounds good.
It doesn't sound like anything. What the fuck are you doing?
No. Ow.
Oh, no. He disappeared into the afterlife, right?
Anthony's just disappeared
from
the street.
No, I know, but I think he went to the other side where his mother is, right? She slapped him into the other side. Frightening. Wait, I think I see him flying back through. Oh, he's back.
There he is.
Anthony, can you hear us, mate?
Guys.
Are you all right? You disappeared into the afterlife.
I gotta tell you what I saw when I went to the afterlife. There was two stools. One stool had a guy that looked like Santa Claus, but no beard. And the other stool was a guy holding the first radio.
Marconi.
And I went.
Is that your father?
Grandfather, right?
No, great-grandfather. Great-great-grandfather. And
okay.
So I go up to these two guys on the stool, and I go, where am I? What is this? And the guy that looked like Santa Claus with the white hair, and he said, where do you think you are? And I said, I don't know. And the guy holding the radio, the first radio, he said, you're in deep shit, you little fuck. How could you treat your mother like that? I should have come down there as a ghost and pushed your dick so far back up your body that it came out of your mouth and you chewed it off. I go, great, great grandfather. And then the guy next to the stool, he put his hands up and he shrugged his shoulders like, I'm not a part of this. Like the guy, the friend you take to the bar when you start a fight, he's like, no, I got a record. Nope, this is not part of me. I'm married. Nope. And so I don't know where I was. I think I went to heaven and my great-great-grandfather started a fight with me and God was like, I'm not in it. I'm out. I think God took the side of my great-great-grandfather instead of me. And then next thing I know, he threw that old radio at me and it hit me in the noggin. And then I'm back here with you.
So a hawk brought Anthony's mother back, who then slapped Anthony into the afterlife.
Right.
That's right. Your mother slapped you into the afterlife.
And then slapped you back, I suppose.
Right.
Crazy if things have happened.
Oh.
I mean, I play a harp with no strings. So.
Right.
I can't be too surprised then whatever happens.
And that's a great way to bring us back round to Superman on Ice, which was the album that we had toured with you that Elton...
By far my 14th favorite album I've ever played on.
14th?
14th. Well, that's...
14th. How many have you played on?
15th.
Well.
All right, well.
Well, at least beat one, right?
Oh, well, you know I have won Grammys. When I was playing regular harp, I won Grammys.
Right.
Do you guys not know about all the different instruments I created since my mother died?
Right. You have to understand, Anthony, that most of the band comes from a lower class background and doesn't have as much experience with some of the more finer points of music theory and different kind of musical instruments that you or I might have.
Wow.
So you have to forgive them.
Barney, you asshole, mate.
I remember you jumped in on tour in Royal Albert Hall, wasn't that?
Mm-hmm.
That was the first night of the tour of Superman on Ice. You came on. We were excited. We hadn't heard you before. We had heard some records that Elton had sent us.
Of the harp. Not of the harp.
And then
Jello Man.
Right. And actually, you know, and on the song Jello Man from right. Superman on Ice, we had you come in and we were like, do you want to do the solo? There's a beautiful interlude on the middle, so we can fill it instead of piano. We can have a harp in there.
To this day, I remember that solo.
Could you play it for us?
I could. You really want me to?
I would love to hear it again, yeah.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to add a little bit of spice. I'm going to play the solo that I played on the unstringed harp, and I'm going to add an instrument that I created called the non-brass trumpet.
What?
Excellent.
All right, sure.
You know how the trumpet is a brass instrument.
Right.
Yes.
Well, they may not have known that, but now you do.
This is a non-brass trumpet. It's part of the unwinded instrument family.
Right.
The unwinded instrument family. Great.
Yes, some people call it the non-winded family, but it's the unwinded family, okay?
You know who's a part of the winded instrument family? Barney. What an asshole. He won't stop talking
okay,
about his
okay, come on now.
you're
sounds like I'm listening to someone break wind.
I'm part of the unwinded family. If I run, even for 1 second, I'm very unhealthy. My heart is going to give any second.
Please be careful, Anthony.
I've been drinking since my mother died. Okay, so here's the solo from Jello Man of the unstringed heart, plus an extra addendum of me playing the unwind instrument, the non-brass.
And do you want me to count you in?
If you want to, you can do it.
Yeah, no, I'll go ahead and count you in. And one, and a two, and a three.
Give it to me now. Come on, y'all. Hit it. And that's where it comes back in.
Oh, which part was the non-brass trumpet?
The non-brass trumpet part. Did you not?
I'll tell you what.
Sure,
I believe it was right after give it.
Yeah, you learned it. You heard it.
You know, I'm just according to Barney, I'm just a blue-collar drummer idiot fuck, but and I might not hear these high-end instruments, which I don't, but the crowd went fucking mental.
That's right.
They went absolutely mental on that night, and I was confused, because to me, let me be honest, it sounds like nothing.
And that's what a lot of laymen think. And the one thing I'll give credit to your audience is that they know real music when they don't hear it. And that's why they love me.
Does that make sense, Alistair?
You are coming down hard with your...
Listen. Well, here's the thing. If I, you know, to defend myself, which I often do...
let me insult you and then let me defend myself from...
Here we are.
I think I know what this is really about. I think Barney is upset that he feels like he was pranked by Elton. This always comes back to the feud with Elton.
No, you think because I'm mad at Elton that I'm pretending like I can hear something that Anthony's playing just so that I don't give in to the fact that I got pranked, right?
100%.
No, that's nonsense. I think Anthony's a beautiful musician with a shining heart that is of service to his own mother. And I think that you uncultured fucks just don't understand great music when you hear it.
There seems to be a lot of confusion. Let me clear something up. And maybe this is something that hasn't been said maybe. And it's confusing. I despise your band as musicians. You're too loud.
Right.
All the noise you make. Do you ever stop to think that maybe you could actually make real music if you didn't make so much noise? Which is what my mother said right after she made me lose my virginity to her and I killed
her. Oh, no. Oh, no. Everything is revealed. Explains a lot.
Explains a lot.
Everything.
There's a lot to unpack there.
When you say your mother made you lose your virgin as a young child,
not a young child.
Oh, as an adult man?
I was 19.
Oh, God.
I sat with it for 3 years and said, you know what?
Right.
I should probably kill her.
Right. Oh, God.
And then I felt guilty, so I created a custom casket and kept her around.
Mate, you killed her at 19? How much longer did you kill her after?
3 years, right?
Yeah, 3 years. I remember I killed her 5 minutes before I invented the silent harp.
Okay.
And then I buried her and I put her in the attic.
How long has your mother been dead for, mate?
Who knows? She's been dead my whole life as far as I'm concerned.
Oh,
she was hollow from the inside as soon as she gave birth to me. That's what she kept telling me.
What's remarkable is we definitely started off this conversation, and in my head, you were absolutely
enamored
with your mother. Right. Enamored being the right.
Still am.
Oh,
any woman that could raise someone as brilliant as me did something right.
This is the first, like, officially confessed murder I think we've ever had.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm not entirely
sure
what to do with
this.
Would
you call it murder?
Well, I would. Justified, perhaps, but murder nonetheless.
What? Can I ask, Anthony, just to, I don't know, try to even things out here, were you feeling in danger for your life at the time? Was she coming at you? Was there any defense involved?
I mean, do you really want to get into more detail?
I mean, we've cracked the egg, so to speak, and I want to know what's in the yolk.
You got to get a burnt omelet, or are you going to get too much eggs?
But Anthony,
are we even debating if my mother should be dead?
No. I'm just
again,
it's completely justified. Right.
You were judging me for killing my mother.
No. I think to have a confessed killer on the show, we just want a bit more details. Like, how did you go about doing it? What was the look on her face when you?
I'm gonna ask you one more time. Do you honestly, really? On a recorded thing, want to know how I killed my mother.
Listen, I don't know how everyone else feels about this, but yes, I want to know how you killed the woman. That's the question.
Or maybe we go one by one, because it doesn't seem like all of you want me to say it.
Oh, you can talk about it, mate.
This is like a CBS sitcom. Do you want to know how I killed my mother?
Oh, no. I think we should guess.
All right.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay, you want to guess? And then I'm going to tell you, I love to hear guesses because you are going to be wildly off.
All right.
Should I start?
Yeah, maybe.
Go ahead,
go ahead. And then Roger, you go next.
I mean, I feel like the most likely option is that you took a string from the harp and wrapped it around her net and choked the life out of her with a string of a harp.
Good guess.
Roger.
Right. Yeah. Well, for me, I think the most logical explanation is that you took a string from the harp, wrapped it around your penis really tight until your penis fell off, right? And then you jammed the severed penis down your mother's throat so that she choked.
It's gross, but you're not far off.
Oh, all right. All right.
Okay. Alistair, do you have a guess?
Right. Well,
follow the penis, Alistair.
Follow the penis, right?
I suppose that to me, the most logical way that you would have killed your mother was that you took one of the strings from your harp instrument, you tied it around her neck, you squeezed as tight as you could.
Right.
So actually, mine's just what Barney said.
Okay, mate, I have a guess. I think you hired a circus clown to come in to distract your mother, you know, keep her a little busy upstairs, okay? And while this is going on, you are...
Where'd the clown come in?
This is just what I think happened, mate. I think you hired a clown to distract your mother, you know, bone her in the attic, you know, and then...
What? He hired a clown to distract his mother by boning her in the attic?
And what else is going on? You take your harp string, right, and you tie it around the clown's penis, and then you take the clown's penis and you shove it down your mother's throat.
You're the furthest off. You're the furthest off.
There's no clown.
It's not. I'm not going to say it's a bad guess because it's creative. But you're the furthest off. Okay. Here's what I did. She said, "I hate the way your harp is sounding. If your great-great-grandfather was alive, she never invented the radio because then he would never have to hear how bad." And then I just grabbed the closest knife, which is a very thin, long knife, and I stabbed her 19 times through each eyeball, which... Oh, God. Because I was 19 years old. For one for every year of my life in each eyeball. And here's the thing. I didn't know about this at the time. But if you aim down when you're stabbing someone in the eye socket, it doesn't get the brain and it doesn't get the spine. So it just goes through her mandible. So she's coughing up all this blood and she's just saying, she can't really say anything at that point. So you wanted, I asked several times if you wanted to know. So I stabbed her 19 times downward through each eyeball. She was still alive. So what I did was, you know what? I'm going down for it. I'm going to make it good. I grabbed the oldest gramophone in the house and I crushed it up, put it in a blender, and I ground it down with water until it was a paste, and I fed it to him. I took one of those pastry tubes that you use for frosting, and I fed her the oldest radio in the house until she choked to death. And then I pounded on her chest and stomach until she shat it out. And then I took 3 days to create a casket deep enough to fill it with dirt and put it in the attic. So you were the closest.
I'd like to apologize to you three gentlemen for how mean I've been in support of Anthony. I really think I hitched my wagon to the wrong horse on this one.
Right.
I asked several times. If you wanted to know.
That's true. That's very true.
Jesus Christ.
And he even went to a vote, and you all decided, you know what? The best thing is to let this obviously crazy fucking person tell you how they murdered their mother. That was how you wanted this to go.
We do have some fan mail tonight.
Yeah.
I have one that's addressed to Stone Cold Paradise. It says, "Dear Stone Cold Paradise, we're launching an investigation on someone who toured with you for Superman on Ice. His name was Anthony. If you have any information about this man, please contact the NYPD immediately."
Wait, they just gave the first name, even though he's a very famous hot player?
This is how I've gotten away so many times. They can never pronounce the last name correctly.
Yeah. Right. At the end, it says, "P.S. We think his last name is Tostitos."
Tostitos, Testiculo, Testicio, Testutito.
It's weird that the NYPD sent us a letter rather than just a representative of either our police or their police coming to speak to us.
May I have the letter?
Oh, yeah, of course. Please, here you go.
It would make a lovely feast.
Oh, no. I have a letter that I could read.
Please, Mike.
"Dear Stone Cold Paradise, I have just entered high school and I've started playing with a band made up of some of my friends, but many of them started playing their instruments much sooner than I had. I only recently started guitar at 16, and I'm wondering, have I missed the chance to become a really great player by not starting so young? How young did you guys start, and do you feel that really affected your ability to be good musicians? Signed, Ted."
Well, I started playing the guitar when I was 3 months old.
I started playing the drums when I was 4 years old.
I mean, I taught myself piano at 7.
Right, I started playing the bass when you asked me to join the band.
Right.
That's right. I stabbed my mother 38 times in the eyes. Also, if you've just seen a guitar when you're 16, give up. It's too late. If you haven't seen a guitar before you're 16 years old, it's not for you.
I don't think he's saying he never saw one. He just said he just started playing.
I just saw a guitar when I was 16. That's what you said.
Started. He started.
Oh,
guitar.
Yeah, my mother.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
No, not my mother.
This room's getting cold. Have you guys noticed that?
Yeah, right.
It's very chilly
it's
in
freezing,
here.
Right, yeah.
No, I hope.
Anthony!
Oh, no.
I'm back for seconds.
I'm not scared of you anymore.
Come kiss your mother.
You never kissed me. All the times you've never kissed me once.
Ow. Ow. You like it, boy?
No.
Hawk, do something.
I think my mother's ghost just came.
Anthony, your mother, she sprayed all over me with this ectoplasm, or ejaculation, if you will.
I've got to be honest, everybody. I'm never going to play the silent harp again.
What?
No. After this, I'm never going to play the silent harp again.
Oh, Anthony, that's probably the right thing to do.
Right.
And even though I stabbed it 30 times in the eyes, and I made a ground-up gramophone and made her shit it out by punching her in the stomach, afterwards she told me I was the greatest lay she ever had.
Ladies, sing for the gentleman. He's a metal man. Love. wiggle and jiggle song. Can't knock down with a jello man. Ain't no yellow man has a hook that can fell a man. Those who scrap with a jello man all night long never can carry on.
Give it, give it. Give it to me now.
Anthony Testuccio was played by Johnny Schwartzbein. Johnny is an actor, improviser, and writer at the UCB Theater in Los Angeles. You can follow him at JJS Comedy on Twitter and Instagram. Hawk Wellington is played by Allison Phillips. Alistair Ritchie is played by Ryan Coyle. Roger Powers is played by Zach Olson. And Barney St. Clair is played by me, Andrew Young. You can follow the podcast at Stone Cold Paradise Podcast on Instagram and at SCP Podcast on Twitter. Or check out the band's website, stonecoldparadise.com. If you're enjoying the podcast and want access to special behind-the-scenes photos, music, and other exclusives, please check us out at patreon.com/stonecoldparadise.